now is not because it's written in a timetable. The reason why we come, we do want to remember our Lord for those they have been saved and receive the Lord as their personal Savior and Lord. So we would like to learn to how to worship and remember the Lord before His table. And also, we come here just by routine, or every Sunday we do that, so we do this now. We want to help one another, encourage one another, to learn to remember the Lord before His table, and take a personal part in it. So in the timetable, it's not only saying that the bread or breaking of bread, but also understanding the Lord's table. So we would like to learn and encourage one another. So today, our breaking of bread may be a bit different from the one we used to be. Usually, in the we used to do breaking of bread, we will sing some hymns, brother and sister share hymns and share prayer, and through this to remember the Lord before His table. But today, we would like to have use this opportunity. We remember Him, and also we use this opportunity to learn, to encourage one another. So we still can raise hymns and share, but also if in the past you have some experience, you find it the Lord bless you through the breaking of bread gathering, and you may share, so that we can encourage one another. So this time, we can share, if you remember, if you think, in the past, how the Lord has blessed me with a certain Sunday morning breaking of bread, or a breaking of bread gathering. So you can just feel free to share in order to encourage one another. So our time here is for brother and sister to share. But before we do that, how about we read in your booklet, the camp booklet, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you don't have the booklet, you have the Bible, then you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. If you have the booklet, you can read it. How about we read it together? As we read it together, we're just not trying to just read it. As we read, we try to let the word of the Lord to speak to us and draw our hearts to Himself before His table. I'm not sure which version this is. Yeah, ESV, all right. So how about we just use ESV to read? We read it together. For I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Yeah, may this time we meditate on the word regarding of the Lord's table. And anyone, if you would like to share how you have been benefited and blessed by the Lord's table, then just feel free to share. I understand that there are some people you haven't you still haven't yet believed in the Lord, but we still welcome you to join us. And also may this meeting can be helpful to you as well. So when the bread and the cup, later on when we share the bread and the cup, we pass to you, please don't take it and you just pass by. Yeah.
So when we went along, it's a while ago and I've had some sleep, so I can't remember everything. But what they did when they broke bread was different from what we do. What they did was they had out the front the bread and the wine. And after some singing and perhaps some worship, I think, they invited those who wanted to take part just to go out the front and get it. So we kind of walked out the front, and a whole lot of people, maybe a half of people or two-thirds of the people, went out to the front, and the bread and the wine was there. And they just began to share it together, pass it to each other, and there were groups of two or three together, encouraging each other. Some people had their arm around each other. Some of them sort of went up to somebody and gave them a hug, and it was really nice. And I was standing next to an older brother, and a young man came up to us, and we were standing in the wrong place because our shadow was on the overhead projector screen, and he just asked us to move, so we just moved. But then when we were there for the breaking of bread, this young man came up to us and asked our forgiveness because he felt that he'd been rude to older brothers, you know. And it was just so sweet, and it was so nice that the atmosphere was one of wanting to be right, really, really wanting to be right with the Lord and to share this together. So it was really a very lovely time of fellowship, very informal. I think it was probably noisy, as people were a bit talking to each other and maybe praying together in little groups out the front. But we were remembering the Lord in the bread and the wine that he gave us. So it was a really nice experience. I don't know if any of you have had a similar sort of experience where people have broken bread in a different way, but in a way that's been helpful and encouraging. And has anybody had that? We'd like to share it. We all only know one thing.
I go to another church as well, and we went away for a weekend away similar to this, and we did it over a lunchtime meal. So we had one loaf and one cup, and we got together around lunchtime and we shared that around, and that was a really different experience, but that was it felt like there was a relationship there with the people that you were sharing the bread and the wine with. So yeah, that was a really different experience.
We said we're going to do it, we want to be a little bit, do things a little bit differently. So the first thing is, as we read in Corinthians, when Paul gives this account, he said he took the bread and he broke it. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then it was after supper that he shared the cup and spoke of the cup. So we're not having a meal together. There's not going to be a meal in between. But we'll share the bread first. And then after we've shared the bread together, we might talk more about the cup, what that means. So before we share the bread, let's just think about this. Why did he give us this bread? Why did he take that bread off the table and give it to his disciples there and break it and say, "Eat"? Because we don't, and it seems strange. It seems strange that we should eat a piece of bread to remember the Lord Jesus. Why would we do that? You know, we read that he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And sometimes when we hear that, we say, "Oh, we've got to do this. We better do it. Because he said, we've got to do it. He commanded us to do it. Let's go and do it. But maybe we should be hearing what he said like this. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, people can do all sorts of things to remember the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people build, put up a big cross and put a statue of a man being crucified on it. And they say, this is how we remember him. Somebody might build a big cathedral and say, this is how we remember him. There may be many different ways of remembering him. But what Jesus said was, do this in remembrance of me. Not those things, but do this to remember me. And he would have said that for a very reason. It would mean that in doing this, he's wanting us to see something or appreciate something or understand something. We know for certain that the Lord Jesus, when he gave us this bread, wasn't saying to us, feel sorry for me. He definitely wasn't saying that. You know, even when he was on the way to the cross, having been flogged already, and women saw the terrible sight of this man innocently flogged so awfully and headed for a gruesome crucifixion. And of course, the streets were lined with women weeping at the very sight of him. And he said, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves. He didn't give us this so that we would feel sorry for him. When Peter tried to defend the Lord and stop him being arrested, the Lord rebuked him and said, don't you think I will drink the cup my Father's given me? Are you going to feel sorry for me because I'm obeying my Father? No way. He was going to do it, and he said, I delight to do your will, O my God. He's not asking us to feel sorry for him, but he's saying, I want you to remember me. Do this to remember me. I don't know whether that seems even stranger. Why would we do this? Why would we eat bread to remember him? There could be many things you could think of that you could do, but why would you eat bread to remember him? This was given for when he is not with us, and he's not with us now in the physically as he was. But this was given for our day. You know, he knew what it would be for us not to be able to see him with our eyes, not to be able to go and talk to him as the disciples talked to him. He knew that day was coming. And so he said, do this and to remember me. But we're not, when we break the bread, we're not really looking back historically and realizing that 2,000 years ago on that horrible cross, Jesus died. But what we're doing is eating this bread. And he said, I am the bread of life. And this is your food. The bread was their food. I don't know what the Lord would have done amongst the Chinese. He would have had to have rice on the table. Because for the Arabic people or for the Semitic people, bread is the rice. You know, bread is the food. Bread is what makes the meal. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am your food. I am the main thing. So our sharing the bread and eating this bread, he's saying, I am alive. I died for you. You can't see me now, but I died for you and I rose again and I live to be your life. In the old days, in these days, the bread wasn't like our loaves of bread. their bread was flat like a plate. And normally the bread was about this thick. So you didn't slice the bread, you broke the bread. And at the beginning of a meal, the host would have this big loaf of bread, and the host would break the bread and give everybody some. You know, we often have dinner with Arabic friends, and they always, almost always, bring out to the table bread, and they break it and give us some. The most common thing, to break the bread, was to share the bread. So the Lord gave thanks, he broke it, which was a perfectly normal thing to do, because he was going to share it with them all. So when you read, he broke it and said, take, eat, that's a most natural thing. This is my body which is given for you. This is me. I am your life. So the bread speaks to us like that, and it's a very physical thing. No, I was going to say, don't take a little bit, take a big bit of bread. But I'm not sure we've got enough bread for us all. We have to be a little bit careful. But, you know, we're meant to get the idea that we're eating. We feel a bit embarrassed about this. We like just to take a crumb, put a crumb on our tongue, because the idea of going chewing seems not spiritual or something. You know, but the bread was to be eaten. And you know, as you eat this bread, you realize the message. This is a very physical thing, eating. You realize, I take it, I am eating. This is a real experience, this eating. He is real. I can't see him, but he is real. He is in the heavens. He lives in me. He is my life. That's what we're doing. And this is deliberately given to us now from his hand for this hour to encourage us. You know, we can be afraid, all the things going on in the world. We can be worried about our own selves. You know, I'm not strong, I'm corrupt, I'm sinful, I've done this, I've done that, I've got all these different issues, and the message is, I am your life. It's not all about you. I am your life. And what a thing, what a precious word to hear from him. And it's as real as the bread is real, and it's as real as our eating of that bread. So we'll share the bread together now, just the bread. The wine's not coming, the cup's not coming, just the bread. But first I ask a question, and I know that I'll get a good answer if I ask Tiana. Tiana, how long is a sentence? Be very short. A sentence. Not a paragraph, a sentence. How long is a sentence? It can be any length. In the Bible, there's a short sentence, Jesus wept. There's another sentence, remember Lot's wife. That's three words. So a sentence can be quite long or it can be quite short. I want to invite you, maybe you feel a bit nervous about opening your mouth in a meeting like this. I want to invite you to give thanks to the Lord with one sentence. If you want to say two or three sentences, all right. But one sentence. And I want to say that you have no access to God but through the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our access is through the Lord Jesus. Everybody understands that? So your one sentence doesn't have to end with, in Jesus' name, amen. Your one sentence can be, thank you, Lord. And you know, why I'm saying this is because I'm not trying to teach you to be good meeting participants, but I think it's really nice and really helpful for us to hear our own voice speak to God and be true to what we believe. Are you grateful that He is your life? Hear your own voice say, thank you, Lord. Or something. You get my encouragement? Will anybody take this up? Or are we all going to just be quiet? If we picture in your mind, you come into a very large room and you notice in this room, over the other side, a little bit away from you, there are a group of people gathered around a table and they are having a meal together. And then you notice that at the head of the table is the Lord Jesus. And He is the one who is the host at that table. And He is the one that's passing the bread to those at that table. But you're some distance back. You've kind of just walked in. And you've seen they're eating there at that table. What do you do? Can you go and join them at that table? Are you welcome there? You say, oh, this is the grace, this is the challenge. Do you know the grace of God? You say, I'm not worthy. Do you know the grace of God? The grace of God calls the unworthy into His presence. You could kind of imagine that scene and you're sort of hesitating, will I go and join that table? And the Lord turns to you and looks at you and knows you. And you're welcome at that table because you've made your peace with Him. You've come to Him. You've confessed your sins to Him. And He's received you. You've put your trust in Him and He's kept His promise to receive you. That's how we come to this table. We don't deserve anything here, but this is a message of grace to encourage us, to lift us up. You can break off a piece of bread for yourself, I guess. We can just pass it to each other in a normal sort of way. Make sure nobody misses out that wants to take part. Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son into the world and He gave Himself for us. Thank You, Lord, for this remembrance. I think three times. And the last cup was called the cup of blessing. But He took this cup and said, what? What did He say? We read it earlier. It's in the book. What did He say? This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This cup is the new covenant. This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Jewish people understood when He said the new covenant was something that was promised to Israel. The old covenant was the covenant made with Moses through the law. Covenant made through Moses by the law. A covenant which said, if you continue in all these commandments, then you shall be My people and I will be your God. But they were promised in the prophets that there'd be another covenant, a new covenant would be made with Israel. So when the Lord Jesus announced, this cup is the new covenant made in my blood, they would have immediately said, this is the fulfillment of what was spoken hundreds of years ago, the great promise that was to Israel. What is that covenant? Well, we know more about that covenant now than they did, the apostles did at that first Passover, or that last Passover. And if we were to ask the question, well, this new covenant is salvation, where does our salvation begin? Does our salvation begin at the cross of the Lord? Or do we say, no, my salvation began when, you know, so many years ago when I first believed in Jesus. That's when my salvation began. But actually, the answer is not either of those. Because our salvation didn't even begin in time, but our salvation began before there was time. Our salvation began before the universe was created. Because before there was time, before there was a creation, before there was the universe, there was only God. And in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, united in a fellowship of love. And in the midst of that intense, glorious, unlimited love, that is the Godhead, so to speak, there was a thought, a purpose in God, and that purpose was that there would be another. At that time, there was only God, but God purposed that there would be another, and that this other would be joined with Him in this fellowship of love. Who is that other? When we speak of that other, we speak of her. She was to be the bride of Christ. She was to be the one joined with Him and brought into the glory and the love and the life of God. She was His other, and she was known before the foundation of the world, and every one of His creation was known in her, named. Is this what the Scripture teaches? It is. Because in Ephesians we read that we are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Known before the foundation of the world. Named before the foundation of the world. No wonder Jesus said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You don't realize how well you are known. Or even we could say, for how long you've been known. And when the Lord Jesus came into the world, He didn't come into the world hopefully saying, I hope this works. He didn't come into the world with any uncertainty at all. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, He came very purposefully to do the will of His Father, to accomplish something. And what was He going to accomplish? His purpose in dying was to bring her home. His purpose in dying was to bring this bride into the fellowship of God. And His death accomplished that. In Ephesians 3, verse 11, it says, the eternal purpose of God, which is accomplished, which was accomplished in Christ Jesus. There was no uncertainty. There was no ifs or maybes. It was absolutely clear what God was doing. He had chosen her. He would win her. He would reconcile her to himself. And he would bring her to glory. Jesus said, you know, all that the Father's given me will come to me. And all who come to me, I will not cast out any. And said, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's very clear, it's very definite, it's very certain what God has done. And this cup speaks of that. Because that new covenant was God speaking, I am going to act, I am going to redeem, I am going to wash away sin, I am going to reconcile a people to myself, they are going to know me, all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, and I will put a new heart within them. I'll take that rotten, stony heart from them and I'll give them a heart that lives. And I will dwell in them, and they shall be my people, and no one shall separate them from me. This was God's purpose. And this cup speaks of that. This cup is the new covenant. It's God saying, I will do this. I have done this. And we share this cup. Each one of us drinks from this cup. Same cup, same love, same covenant. Who can drink from this cup? Those who are called by the Lord. Those who've had their eyes opened, who've seen first of all their sinfulness, and then they've seen his grace. Then they've seen that Jesus died actually for them. You know, he died for me. He died for me. And because of that, I can put out my hand and say, yes, give this cup to me. I can drink of this because he's made this covenant with me. Infinite grace, great mercy. He's done it for me. And all of us, don't you dare take this cup thinking you deserve it, but take this cup because grace has reached you. Your eyes have been opened. You've seen. You know. You know he's the Son of God. You know he's the truth. You've come to him. You've admitted your sin and you've received his promise. How can we be sure of that? How can we be sure that we are saved? Do I have to have a special feeling somewhere here? Feelings are no good. You know, I might have a feeling one day, oh, I feel really good. The next day I catch the flu, I feel really bad, it's happened. Feelings are no good. And even you say, well, you know, a few years ago I had this wonderful experience. Well, that's good too. But memories fade. How can we be sure that we're his? We can be sure when we rest on his promises. Salvation is of the Lord. Our security and our certainty comes from the certainty of his promises. And his promises are sure because he doesn't change, because his character is rock solid. I am the Lord, I change not, he said. This is the Sabbath, you know. The Sabbath is when you don't work, but you enter into what God has done. So we can share this cup together now. It's the cup of the new covenant. When we drink of it, we're saying, grace has come to me and I belong to him. And we can continue to give him thanks as we do this.
Remind us that the Lord is our life, our food. So although we partake the bread and the cup now, and we will dismiss soon, but may this, the Lord as our food, as our life, remind us. And also remind us that he is our supply. So whatever situation we are at, even we talk about different scenarios, different situations in our life or personal need, we are reminded that the Lord is our life. And also what we have just read, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. May this encourage us. We have a new covenant with the Lord. We are his. And he loves us. It's a never, ever, everlasting covenant. Not only that, the hymn we just sung remind us that we are not only individually come to the Lord's table before our Lord, but also we come together and we learn to love one another. In this camp, although we have only half a day or less than half a day time, we learn to love one another. So our meeting stops here. Unless you have something you would like to share more. Otherwise, we stop here. Now we have the morning tea. After morning tea at 11 o'clock, we come back together. We have some rounding off, including those two scenarios we have just left out last night.